Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Crazy Box. Today, talented artist named Protato, which is also one of my best friends on here. Protato, how are you doing today or tonight?
I'm doing fine, Chalky. Thank you very much for inviting me. This is great. I love to be here. Love to hear ya. What is happening?
This is amazing, man. I'm doing good today, man. You know, I just woke up. You know, I'm about to prepare me some breakfast, you know? I'm just having an overall good time, man.
That's good. That's good.
Potato, where are you from originally?
Originally from? You mean like where I was born and raised or like online? What you talking about from there?
Well, either or. Like where do you consider yourself to just kind of, you know, be from? Where does Potato come from?
Oh, from where I come from. I mostly come from more suburban and city areas. I was born in Baltimore City in Maryland, actually. A few people know that about me. I don't talk about my birth a whole lot. A whole lot of exciting things there. But yeah, I was born in Baltimore, Maryland, you know. I was in the city for a bit. That's where I lived with most of my friends and family growing up. And then as time moved on, when I grew up, I moved to more suburban areas. And then for the online side of things, where I grew up online... I was very much the kind of kid that would just go through random forums, mostly gaming forums, and I would just read and read, and I was a big Wikipedia reader. So I would say, in terms of how I grew up, yeah, I grew up online in that very early internet, early 2000s, where it was more of the Wild West, you know?
When did you begin for your craft? What sparked your desire there?
All right, sparked my desire for my craft. So I would say my craft has changed over the years. So I probably should do a little bit of explaining. I think at first I wanted to be an artist when I was younger, and my craft was just drawing and sketching things. But as time progressed and, you know, free time comes and goes, I actually found out I liked video editing more after watching a lot of my favorite YouTubers growing up. So I started doing video editing at that time, and that was my craft that I started to learn and teach myself.
What were your original goals compared to now? Have you succeeded in these? And what are your new goals? And what plans do you have to achieve those goals that you have set for yourself?
All right, so current goals, new goals, and what have I achieved? So... My current goals, it's kind of weird because it's like goals, I feel like for me, it's like you can reach them, but I feel like they keep increasing. But for me, my main goal is to just make like quality content when it comes to like video editing and stuff and hit, I don't know, I don't want to just like throw out an arbitrary number of subscribers because anyone could throw out a number. But my current goal as of right now is trying to hit 10,000 subscribers. I have like roughly 8,000. So I would say in terms of current goals, that's what I'm trying to do. What goals have I reached? I've already reached a couple of my goals in terms of being a pretty respected creator, I would say, on my own little corner of the internet. And some other goals I've made is definitely making some nice, reliable friends like yourself that have really helped me out on my journey on what I'm doing. And I'd say for future goals, obviously, you know, more subscribers, better videos, that sort of thing. But I think making them truly special, stuff that can resonate with people, is like my ultimate goal. Things people can relate to and can just watch and feel happy watching.
How do you record the stuff that you do? Like, what programs do you use? What software do you use? What is this process like to create this art form?
So recording what I do in terms of, yeah, video editing is an art in a way. So I like to start from the beginning. A lot of my friends know I originally started doing all my editing and stuff and some artwork on my phone. At the time, I didn't have a laptop. I didn't have a PC. I was very, very limited in what I was able to do, but I didn't decide to let that stop me. So a lot of my early videos are all made on my phone. So I had to reuse my in phone. I used like an application in my phone to record audio. I used KineMaster to edit my videos, and then I used another application, I think it's called IbisPaint X, to make thumbnails and stuff. And that was kind of how, that was my process. I had like four or five applications to make stuff. As time progressed, I later got a Raspberry Pi 4, and I built a mini PC out of that. It wasn't the greatest. It ran on Linux. It was still pretty fun. And my process was more or less the same. And then it wasn't until like 2020, 2021 is when I first started building my real PC. So my friends helped me. So that's when I actually, you know, built my own little rig going. I still recorded a lot of stuff on my phone, but then I got a proper microphone. I'm using a Zoom H1 microphone right now, actually. Pretty decent. It's old, but it's one of those things that lasts a long time as long as you take good care of it. And that basically, I'd say, would sum up the process. I mean, there's more I could say to get into detail of how I do it, but like surface stuff, recording, editing, all done on my PC. You know, I got applications like Audacity. When it comes to actual video editing, I am a big user of DaVinci Resolve. I do not like Adobe at all. And I have a lot of friends that will say, oh, use Adobe, like, but like, oh, I'd be like, no, I don't like using it. Like, they're just like, oh, just pirate it. I'm like, no, like, I'm not even going to pirate it. Like, at least in my own terms of morals, if I don't like something, I'm not going to pirate it just to use it. I'm just not going to use it. I'm going to find a different way. And I use DaVinci Resolve. But I think that basically answers your question in terms of my setup and how I make and do things.
I love it, man. I love it, man. By any chance, is there anyone you work under, say, management or anything of that type of sort?
So I don't work under anyone right now. I guess, in a funny sort of way, I would say I work under my patrons and supporters on Patreon and Ko-fi. Those are the ones that are technically my managers when you think about it. But in reality, I'm my own boss. I mean, I don't make a living off this, but you know, I'm my own boss when it comes to making things. And like everyone says, you're always your own worst critic. So when it comes to managing myself, I'm always looking at my projects and thinking, is this good enough? Did I really give it my all? Could I have really pushed something here and there? So yeah, in terms of management, yeah, it's just myself and my supporters that watch me are the ones managing my content.
Yeah, that worst critic mindset for sure comes into play a lot, man. I could be my own worst critic sometimes, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Are you involved, have you been involved with any other artists that are in the industrial scene or anything of that sort? Like, for example, I know you've worked with Ultra Fox as well, you know, who is also pretty big, pretty up there.
Yep. So other artists, creators, that sort of thing. Yeah, Ultra Fox, one of them. I like Rennie a lot. He's a really nice dude. Definitely, one thing I appreciate about him is that he has a deep love for the things he likes and doesn't turn back just because of what other people think. And I think that's a good trait to have nowadays. It's all easy to like something, and if some people says it's weird or it's cringe or maybe it's a little bit different than what the mainstream likes, people can be very quickly to change. But I just like Rennie because of who he is. I would say another artist I work with is Lonely Goomba. Really nice dude. It's one of those cases where when you really get to know someone, you get to see how, you know, we're all human at the end of the day. And you get to really appreciate and love the craft for people's work and videos. And sometimes even their personal lives and just getting to know them. I'll say I haven't worked with a whole lot of YouTubers, but I have spoken to a lot of different artists and creators that either make music and do art and people like that. I'll rattle a few people off the top of my head, like Echo is one of my friends. He makes really good music in the Sonic community and just in general. And then I have my other artists, like I would say, I'm trying to think. There is Miss Badoof, aka Citrus. She's one of my main thumbnail artists. There's also Moontoon. She's amazing at art. There's, who else is there? I feel bad because I'm forgetting, but there's a ton of great people out there.
I think there's one name. I think there's one name, David Toons. Well, actually, I heard it's
pretty
yeah,
David Toons. He's great. I got to start getting him in some more of my projects and stuff. But he's a good friend of mine. He's an animator, really great guy, down to earth. And it's like, you know, just because he's a cool and popular animator, he still hangs out with people like me and many others. Just because, you know, he's just a swell guy, honestly. But yeah, in terms of like artists and creators, those are kind of the people I talk and work with, and I plan on working with more in the future.
Pretty cool, man. How did you meet these people, by the way? In or out before? Did you meet them before you made your art, or?
So for how I met these people, let's say, it's funny. The universe has a way of like placing you where you never thought you'd be. So for instance, a lot of my friends I just met online, honestly. But in terms, it wasn't like a, oh, I just happened to like, you know, we were both in like the same server and we just started talking. Sometimes we would meet because it was a friend of a friend of a friend. And, you know, we'd hit it up and we'd talk in DMs and then like, we're like, oh, wow, we really clicked together. I think in the case for Ultra Fox, it was just because, like, me and him have a lot of friends that share the same communities, mine and his. So it was kind of like naturally, we just kind of became friends over time, just due to, you know, we were all, you know, our friends. We were, you know, we had friends that shared friends, which made it a lot easier. I think for Lonely Goomba, the funniest thing was that I started to get to know him actually due to a misunderstanding. This isn't a story I haven't said a whole lot, but I think like I first started talking to him because a couple of years ago I was like trying to join his Patreon, and I think I said something along the lines of like, hey, what if I just paid you like $10 and left because I just wanted to join for like 1 month? But he misunderstood what I said and he thought I was just gonna like join and then dip where he doesn't get paid at all. I was like, no, so we talked about it over in DMs. I was like, no, like, I'm not trying to scam you. I was just trying to see, can I just, like, join for a little bit? And after we talked it out in the DMs, he was like, oh, I'm sorry. I it was a bit of a misunderstanding. But even after that initial DM when we were talking and stuff, I think I asked, like, questions occasionally to him. And we kind of warmed up to each other to the point where I would say we're pretty good friends now. So it's funny when you meet friends. It's not always in the way you think you would. It's sometimes it's just completely random. And that's how it was for me and a lot of the friends I met. So whether it's Rennie, Lonely Goomba, or anyone else online, it's just kind of a, oh, wow, we just happened to be in the right place at the right time and hit it off.
Talking like a rock star, man. You know what I'm saying? I know what I know, man. Off side note, man, Goomba is pretty up there. And not to mention, like, and I mentioned this to Ultra Fox our interview, but it appears that it's like you guys are polar opposites of each other. It's hilarious, but you guys are basically like the same as well.
Yeah, when it comes to that, I wouldn't say we're too different in terms of polar opposites. I will say there is like funny rumors that go around sometimes. Some people set us up like me and Rennie are like rivals, but I don't think there's ever been a case of that. I mean, the only rivalry that will pop up is maybe we're like playing Mario Party and we're trying to stop each other. But it's like, other than that, we both respect each other's spaces and what we do and say. I'd say Ultra Fox is very much into like, you know, Nostalgia Critic and Wario and stuff. And I'm more into Angry Video Game Nerd. And,
he's more into Kiwis.
Not Wario. But, I would say we're not too different because there's probably more similarities than differences. You know, we're both YouTubers and creators trying to just get our stuff seen and be unique and be our own person. And I think that's we really respect each other for that.
Yeah, man. Both of you guys are great. Both of y'all are great, man. You guys got to keep working together, man. I'm telling y'all. You feel me? Goku, Vegeta, bro. Sonic and Shadow, bro. I'm telling you, you guys are the ones to do it, bro. Do you have any form of clothing line available, merchandise that you are able to sell to your fan base? Where and how can they access your current products available?
So as of right now, surprisingly, I don't have any sort of merchandise, mostly because I don't feel like I'm exactly ready for it. A lot of people say, oh, you can always start up and open up something, but I feel like doing it when I fully deserve to have something like that out. I don't want to just have a half-baked idea or a product out there just to push the people to be like, hey, you know, your favorite creator has made something. I want to do something that I would like. When I tell people, like, if I were to ever make or sell something, it would have to be something that I would myself buy. Like, if I were to look at something and not want to get it, I probably wouldn't promote it to people. So the only thing I do promote is my my Ko-Fi and my Patreon, which I usually link in my videos and stuff. That way, you know, people get to make input on my videos and show up in credits and that sort of thing. I do plan to make something in the future soon. You know, it could be maybe a little plushie or a hat or something. Maybe get some stickers out there. Fun little ideas like that. But for the time being, yeah, it's just going to be Patreon and Ko-Fi is where my main merchandise is. And I help people commission me for videos too. So that's basically it.
Got the sauce for the t-shirts, gang. You know, if you need me to help set up shop for you, hit me up. I can do it. Got you, bro.
Honestly, that's a pretty... Yeah, I might take you up on that offer soon. But like you say, it's good to have people connections, right? So yeah, we'll probably look into that in the future. But I do like that idea.
When was the first time you ever, like, released one of your videos or just content in general for the public?
Funnily enough, I started, even though most of my main YouTube videos are from, like, I think, like, what, 2018 and 19, and then I really got serious in 2021. A lot of my stuff goes way back to, like, 2014, 2015, but that was on my old YouTube account, which doesn't exist anymore. Some of that content is on my current one, but it's unlisted. But I first started uploading videos where I would do flipbook type animations. And what I did was, it was really weird, a little cringe looking back, but it was kind of wholesome and funny. I would like do something called Sonic Sprite videos. And then I would like go to the printer, use my mother's computer, and then I would print out a sprite sheet of Sonic doing things. And then I would cut them all out, and then I would lay them out, and then I would use a stop motion app to lay out and move all the frames around to make it look like Sonic was jumping around and doing things. And that's basically how I first started on YouTube initially. It was just me making these little stop motion sprite videos, which I liked a lot. Yeah, that's pretty much how I got started. After that, I wanted to do animation and art, but that was not easy and I didn't have the time for that. But that was usually, that's one of the first things I upload to YouTube. That's how I got started.
I could never forget those Sonic Sprite sheets, man. Those Sonic Sprite battles, all that stuff, man. Pure 2000s energy, man. How could I forget, man? How would you define your genre of content? How would you define what you do?
My genre of content?
Yeah, like, if you were to put, like, your own name on it, or, like...
Oh, if I put my own name on it. I feel like what I do isn't, like, too crazy original. You know, people have done reviews, video essays, gameplay stuff, that sort of thing. I think where I make it special is where I have my own spin on it. So it's like, instead of trying to do the easy way out when it comes to video editing, I really like to try to fact check, make sure it's as visually engaging as possible so people can enjoy it without being too overly stimulating. So when it comes to what I create like that, it's mostly, you know, how can I be unique? What can I do? And my shtick right now for making unique videos is whenever I review any sort of game or anything, I'd like to speak to the creator or the developer of it. And I think that's a unique spin that a lot of other creators don't do. Actually talking to the creator or the source of something versus just spitting out your own random ideas and maybe even getting it wrong. So that's what I do in terms of that.
Why do you like to make this type of content other than maybe something else, say music, anything of that type of sort?
Again, for video editing, I prefer making that because it's very fun and creative for me. It fills that niche of me, it scratches that itch of me wanting to like do a puzzle of some sort. I know comparing video editing to puzzles may sound a little weird, but it honestly is a big puzzle. When you're editing a video, you have your audio, you got your images, you got your video, you got a script, and then it's your job to put all that together into a cohesive format that people can enjoy watching. And that's mostly why I like video editing. It's just a fun, big puzzle to create. I have always thought about possibly doing music and art again. Again, it's just those things take time. So while I wish I could get into music production or making art, it's not really feasible right now. But in the future, I do plan to try to branch out a little bit and do something new, because that's what life is all about, the variety.
Well put, man. Is there any part of the your activity that you do say that you don't do? I mean, like cover art, thumbnails, anybody that helps you out with that thing?
So videos are usually like 100% me. I edit and write and put together everything. When it comes to thumbnails, I like to commission people. So earlier I talked about some of my favorite artists on Twitter. And Citrus and Moontoon are some of my favorite ones I like to go to. And then there's a few others. But yeah, thumbnails, I'm usually commissioning people for. They're a big help in the process. And then maybe if I'm looking for a specific footage or image, I'll ask someone for permission. But other than that, a good 99% of everything I make comes straight from me.
Where do you see yourself going with your career, with your artist career, say maybe about a year from now?
A year from now? It heavily depends on how the online space is. You know, Twitter, aka X, is a little shaky at the moment. And it's really hard for, I would say, creators and producers to really promote themselves in some of these websites. So it's kind of shaky. It's like, honestly, a year from now, I could be more or less doing the same thing, or I could be doing much better. And a year from now, I really hope to be doing better. I think I'd have a slightly larger audience as long as I, you know, put my everything into what I create. And the more friends I gather along the way, I feel like the more I can learn and improve as a person to just keep doing my ultimate best.
Are there any other unusual or hidden talents that may help you in your career? Like, say, do you know things such as coding? I know you mentioned in the past that you can draw.
So additional talents. I can draw a little bit. I don't do it a whole lot, but I can sketch out certain things. If the moment calls for it, I could sit down and probably draw something. I'm trying to think what I could do right off the top of my head, but I just tend like to doing little cartoony doodles. I used to be pretty good at doing still life, though. I have a knack for just drawing things I see and just kind of replicating it on paper. That's pretty fun. Other skills I do have, I'm pretty good at managing money and accounts and stuff. While I'm not an accountant, that is a skill I do have. And I also went to college for HVAC, actually. So, you know, you got a broken water heater or your AC is not working, I'm your man.
I have to hit you up on that, man. I could use some AC where I'm at right now. You have a lot in store for your supporters that is currently exclusive and private. So how much?
Oh, I'm sorry. Could you repeat again? You cut out a little bit.
How much do you have in store for your supporters that is currently exclusive and or private? Do you have any at all?
So stuff for my supporters. So yeah, so in terms of like what I put on Patreon and Ko-Fi, the things I put out in private for those that support me mostly breaks down to like behind the scenes videos or commentary. And I feel like that's a nice way of showing people like behind the scenes is cool because I can show people like, hey, this is how I did this effect. This is how I built this. And it's a way for me to share my knowledge with other creators on how I make the videos I make. And then when it comes to like commentary, I just give an extra layer of my thought process when I made a video, which is pretty fun. So for like instance, the last one I did was for the Pac-Man Bros. And I was able to invite back the developer Left Again. And we got to do a little bit of just commentary of the video and share that with all the supporters, which was pretty nice. People really appreciate things like that.
Cool, man. Do you look back at any of your previous works that you may have done, created, and do you have any plans or thoughts of just remastering those projects again?
I'm actually in the process of doing something like that right now. A lot of my old and early videos are very unpolished. I don't hate them because they're unpolished and amateur in a very cute sort of way. Like I was trying, but I didn't exactly have a flow to it yet. So I started remaking some of them. I think, for instance, I remade the Lonely Goomba video when I interviewed him a couple years ago to be of a more of my standard format. I'm about to redo the Chessplosion review I did a couple years ago. I'm going to add some more content to that. And that way, when people see these types of things, they're like, oh, wow, you know, the person we've been watching and supporting is actually learning and growing and improving. And I want people to see that in my work. I want them to see I care about what I do and that I'm improving.
Big question right here, man. How has the internet influenced your work as an artist and who you are today?
I would definitely say the internet has shaped me greatly. You know, being someone born in the era of the internet, not like a Zoom Zoomer where where I only knew the internet, but you know, from it going to like a novel thing to more of a main staple where it's a necessity to live today, the internet has shaped me, show that there are more creative things you can do that aren't possibly done normally in real life. Like most of the time, people aren't going to care about your little niche interest in your things that, you know, your niche interests is. And that's what I like about the internet. It's just finding those people that care about a thing that you care about, grouping up with them, becoming friends, and then making and doing things like that. So the internet has really shown me, you know, while it has its good and its bad side, it's really shaped me in a way where I get to see things from a different perspective that I wouldn't have known about. And that's one thing I really appreciate.
Is there anyone in specific that has meant a lot to you and in your artist career, such as family, favorite artists, or just friends in general that have influenced you upon your artist path?
Definitely say my friends have been my biggest help and inspiration. And even when I didn't have many friends and I would just watch a lot of stuff on YouTube, I was always enjoying how people made things. So I would watch a video and I'd be like, wow, that looked really cool. I'm like, how did they do that effect? Or how did they make it look like this? Or, you know, how can I learn to make a video structured like this without sounding like I'm just rambling all day like I usually do? And through my friends and the people around me like that, I was able to improve and learn. So, like I always say, friends get, you know, friends rise together and thrive together. That should be your number one thing as an artist or a creator. When you support your friends, they support you, and you both benefit in the end.
Potato, where can they find you on social media?
So on social media, currently right now, you can find me on Twitter. I'm Protato, but I think my actual at or tag is insane.
As of Protato. This time, before they take you down again.
Yeah, as of this time, but I've had it for a little over a year actually, so I'm not too concerned about losing the account. I'm also on Blue Sky as Protato, which is fun. And you can also find me on YouTube, obviously. That's the big one. Protato Gamer, that's my name on YouTube. And I'm on other websites, but nothing really notable. You know, you're going to find me more active on Twitter, Discord, and YouTube. That's pretty much it.
Tato, is there anything you want to make known, anything that you want to say to your audience and to those who are listening to right now, as well as there any shout outs you want to mention that you want to make known at this moment in time?
So
let's have a special message.
Special message. I'd like to say thank you very much to everyone that's been following and supporting me. Honestly, it's one of those deals where I could not have made it here if it wasn't for the people that helped me along the way. I'd probably still be a nobody just in my parents' basement, just kind of doing my own thing. But then I really learned from, you know, my friends and everyone on the internet that there's more people out there and that it's worth fighting for the things you want to do and create. And it's really inspired me. And I'm glad that I'm able to inspire other people who actually, you know, care enough to support me. It means a lot. I definitely want to give a shout out to like some of my top patrons that have been supporting me. Emily is one of my greatest friends. Tarantula, Vasha, Soul. These people have been with me for a very long time and have wanted to see me grow. To everyone that just watches me, I enjoy the views a lot. It's nice to have constructive criticism and feedback so I can keep improving. And you too, Chucky, you know, you've been one of those big people in my life that just been very encouraging and helpful. So things like that, I really appreciate. And I thank everyone for it.
I hope we work a lot more in the future, man. I hope my role becomes even bigger, you know what I'm saying? And really hope to be a bigger part of your artist journey, man. Well, you know, with all that being said, Protato Gamer, thank you for your time at the Crazebox Anchor. We hope to see you again. We appreciate you and all the support from all our viewers worldwide. For additional information about the Crazebox, please check the description below. Thank you and have a wonderful day.